morning, everybody. Welcome again to our Sunday morning online church service. And it's great to have you with us. Can I tell you how encouraged I am by the feedback that we're receiving about people who are being encouraged, people who are being discipled and taught, people who are being convicted? Can I also say how encouraged I am by the way in which you have shared encouragement amongst each other? I'm aware that there are a number of people who aren't even normally a part of Lismore Baptist Church who have been listening in each Sunday, and it's great to have you with us as well, and we encourage you to continue to participate. Please let us know. Send us a message or an email if you'd like to get some more information about how we are doing church during this pandemic. It's really encouraging to know that even though we are physically isolated, that the ministry of God's kingdom is still occurring. And it's occurring in quite creative ways. And I've been talking with a number of other pastors, and I'm in regular contact with via online chats with other pastors right across the state of New South Wales and beyond, actually, and hearing some of the encouraging ways in which churches are doing ministry and doing creative things. Can I also encourage you that we are continuing on our Zoom fellowship meetings at 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Now, I understand today's special day. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there. I am aware that some of you may have some other plans, although we would anticipate that this is quite a different Mother's Day. Probably any of you in your lifetime haven't experienced a Mother's Day like this. So I understand the complexity of having a Mother's Day and possibly not being able to get together in the normal fashion that you would. Although the encouraging thing here is that there is some relaxing of the restrictions, which enables some small gatherings to occur. And if that's the case for you, I hope that works well for you as long as you keep safe. So we're going to continue on our sermon for today. And it's this, Be Anxious for Nothing, a reflection on a book by Max Lucado, simply called Anxious for Nothing. And he's brought a number of reflections in his book. This is a book by Max Lucado that was only written recently, certainly before the pandemic, but has some wonderful principles that we can reflect on during these strange days. So can we just pause for a moment? Let's pray together. Let's ask God by His Spirit to speak to us today. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are with us. You are with us when we gather together face to face. You are with us when we are in our own homes, isolated physically from the rest of Your people, but You are with us. Your perfect presence. We thank You for Your word, and as we open up Your word today, we know that You are faithful to speak to us through Your word and by Your Spirit. So we invite You to say what You desire to say, not just words and information, but You will transform us through Your word, that You will continue the work of sanctifying us, growing us to be more like You. I pray for every person who is listening to this audio message. Speak, Holy Spirit. Do Your work, and may You be glorified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, no doubt you're listening to this message on our website, And if you're on the website there, just below where you click on to hear the message, if you go further down the page, you'll see some links that will enable you to download sermon slides. So the slides we normally have up on the screen when we're in the church together, and also a short study guide. You should be able to just click on those, and they should open up in a separate page, which enable you to be able to view that while this audio is playing. As we've spoken in the last couple of weeks, this sermon series, Anxious for Nothing, is based around a passage in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through to 8. And I'll read it again. It's such a fabulous passage that says so much. Philippians 4, 4 to 8. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In 2012, Angie and I had the opportunity to go to Kenya for the first time to visit not only the Mia Orphanage, which you know we have a partnership with here at Lismore Baptist Church, but also to go and visit some compassion projects. Now, there are a number of folk within our church who sponsor compassion children, and we've got this wonderful relationship with compassion and our folk with their sponsor child. And so we were in a city called Kisumu in northwestern Kenya, to visit some of the children. And on the Sunday, we were making our way to a church service, the sponsoring church. We were on our way from the hotel through to the church service. And we had what's called the compassion liaison person. So he's a local Kenyan who works for compassion, who's basically guides us around. So he's our guide who takes us from compassion project to compassion project to various sponsored children's home and to church and the like. So we were in his car and he was driving us from place to place. And on this particular day, he picked us up from our hotel and we were on our way to the church service. And on our way through, we went through a particular part of the city where we could see that there was a lot of unrest. People were yelling. They were gathering around. And as we were driving along the road, a crowd had sort of gathered across the road. And right in front of us, a number of this crowd had placed a whole lot of burning tires right in front of us and made this great big, and if anyone knows, when you burn tyres, they burn black and there's black smoke. It looks a terrible scene when you've got these tyres, it's burning, there's flames, there's smoke, unrest, and it's right in front of us in the middle of the road. And we were the only white people as far as the eye could see. And to say that that Angie and I were a little bit anxious would be an understatement. It's a very unnerving scene. Restless people. A fire in the middle of the road through the place where we needed to go. What do you do in a time like this? Anxiety is rife. But at that point, our compassion driver, our guide, said, "Don't worry, just stay in your car. The doors are locked. Everything will be okay." Now, for someone we'd only met for a day or two, the relationship wasn't quite there. So I guess we had no other choice but to trust our compassion driver. And we were at a standstill for probably less than a minute, and we could see the police came, and they separated the conflicting groups, and they pushed the tyres out of the way. And within a very short period of time, we were able to drive through on our way to church. In reflection of that, you can easily be focused on the conflict, on the kerfuffle that has occurred. And it's only a bit later on you look back and you go, how much Angie and I appreciated the calming presence of our compassion driver. As he just assured us, it's okay. We'll be able to get through. Have you been in a situation like that where things seem to be out of control, and there's just someone within that group who provides that calm, the peace, the assurance that everything is okay. The problem can be solved. I'm sure all of you have an example. Now, in this passage in Philippians 4, we see in verse 5 where Paul says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Now, this word gentleness, it varies a little bit depending upon the different translations that you may use. Most of the time it is gentleness. But it could actually be translated, if we go back, we could actually use the term courageously calm, level-headed, clear thinking, tranquil, not panicking. Opposite to flying off the handle or reacting to a situation. So you could say Paul is urging the church, the Philippian church, to let your contagious calm, your tranquility, to be evident to all. Do you think of people who are like that in your life? Do you appreciate those people? The people in your group or your family or your setting that just seems to calm and settle everybody down. You know, anxiety can be contagious. If one person gets anxious, so if I'm sitting in this car confronted by a burning set of tyres and a rioting mob outside the car, and I start to physically panic, what do you think that would have done to Angie? Or, another step further, what would have myself and Angie have done if suddenly the compassion driver flew into an absolute panic of anxiety? What would that have done to Angie and myself? You could only imagine. So anxiety and fear can be contagious, but can I say that being contagiously calm can also be contagious? And as that compassion driver exercised a calm in the midst of, you know, a very tense situation, it rubbed off on Angie and myself. Not to the same extent, we're still a bit on edge, but you know where I'm going with all of this. Now, how does that happen? Now, I think Paul gives us a great clue in all of this. If we go back to verse 5 of chapter 4 of the Philippians, he says, "Let your gentleness, your contagious calm, be evident to all." How? Because the Lord is near. The Lord is near. The Lord is with us. We can know a calm. We can know a tranquility. We can know some clear thinking we can overcome panic because we know that the Lord is with us. And often in a season of anxiety, we think God isn't near, or he is near, but he doesn't care. He doesn't care for me. And one of the great problems that we have is that when we sense a presence of problems, we equate that to the absence of God. Let me say that again. It's a great mistake that we make, is that when we sense the presence of problems, we equate that to the absence of God. Now, if we let that thinking run rampant within our minds, what we basically say is that if we have a problem, if we have a problem in our lives, we need to face it alone. Because God is either not with us or is not interested in us. And you could just imagine that that would just create a downward cycle. So Paul says, the Lord is near, so therefore can I encourage you to remember that the gentleness that he is offering us can be exercised within us as a result of the knowledge that God is with us. God is near. God is present. And this is a really powerful concept, the presence of God. If we look back through the Old Testament, we see how powerful, what an incredibly important concept it was throughout the Old Testament. For Adam and Eve walking in the garden, the presence of God with Adam and Eve in the garden. For Noah, for Moses, the presence of God in the form of a burning bush, the presence. David, the King David, talked about that over and over and over, particularly in the Psalms. And so throughout the Old Testament, the concept of the presence of God is powerful. And then, of course, we come into the New Testament, and at the very beginning of the New Testament, we get heralded with Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Emmanuel, God coming to heaven down amongst us to be with us. And then even throughout and to the end of the Gospels, to the ascension of Jesus as he goes back up to heaven, he says, I may leave you, but the Holy Spirit will come. The Spirit of God will be present with you always. And here is the promise, and it's the game changer. I will never be alone. I, and can you put your I into that as well? So you as well. You will never be alone. Nothing you go through, nothing that occurs in your life will ever occur with the absence of God. He is with you at all points. And I've found this quite apt here today. It's quite easy, I guess, when we gather together of a Sunday morning inside the church building and we sing worship and we pray together and we read God's word together and we do things together, and it's easy to sense God's presence because we're with God's people. And so when we're in the midst of a wonderful church service and we say, God is here, everyone will say, Amen, Amen. But when you're home and you're in isolation, you haven't seen any of God's people face to face for quite a while, and it's easy to go, can God really be here? And we can miss it. We can miss it. I want to pull a story out of the Gospels that I hope will illustrate that. And it's a story about Philip, one of the disciples, and one of the most powerful and popular stories in the Gospels. And that's where Jesus feeds the 5,000. So in John chapter 6, we read about this amazing story where Jesus fed. Now, it says the 5,000. I think I've said this before in sermons. It was 5,000 men. And so if you include women and possibly children as well, you could be looking at 10, 15 plus thousand people. It's a massive amount of people. It's like a stadium of people. Huge. And we read and we pick up Jesus, you know, amazing opportunity to minister these thousands and thousands of people. And we saw this great crowd coming towards him. And we pick this up in verse 5 of John chapter 6. And when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Where shall we? Now he's asking Philip the question. Why is Jesus asking Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" The clue is in verse 6, where it says Jesus asked this to Philip to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Now, you use the word test. Quite often, you look at it a couple of different ways. Some people think of testing as in, "I want to test you to see how good you are because I want to pull you down. I'm going to try to tell you how bad you are and how wrong you are." But a good test is to find out where we're at so that we can encourage you to take another step, to build you up, to strengthen you. Now, here's the really fascinating part. So here's Philip in this conversation with Jesus. Where are we going to get this bread from? I don't know why Jesus spoke to Philip, but it appears to me to be Philip to be one of the pragmatists within the group. He's going to look at a practical response to the question that Jesus has. Where are we going to get the money? Where are we going to get the bread to feed these people? We're in a space way out of town. Where are we going to do it? So straight away, Philip does the calculations. You'd almost imagine him pulling out his wallet, pulling out the calculator, starting to crunch through a few numbers. Quite possibly, he's already started to do a bit of thinking because it appears straight away his response is, in verse 7, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Now, a couple of problems here. It doesn't appear like they have the money. You wouldn't have had that amount of money sitting in your back pocket. And secondly, even if you did have the money, it's not where do you buy enough bread for 15,000 people on the spot. What becomes apparent is that Philip is looking to earthly resources, money, food, to solve the problem. That is Philip's response to the test or the question that Jesus asked. Where are we going to buy this bread? Philip says, "Well, we need thousands of dollars. We need to find out where we can get the money from." As a matter of fact, in one of the other Gospels, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 15, we actually see that the other disciples, who are probably part of this conversation, actually told Jesus, "We need to send them away." That's the solution to the problem, is to send them away. Now, it's easy for us, 2,000 years later, reflecting on this passage, as many of us have read it over and over, we've heard sermons and done studies on it and whatever, it's easy for us to look back on it and go, Philip, what were you thinking? Did it ever occur to Philip to ask Jesus for help? Now, at this point or ever, Jesus is well and truly into his ministry. And so these 12 disciples would have seen Jesus heal people. They would have seen Jesus calm the sea. They would have seen Jesus raise a girl from the dead. They would have seen Jesus cast out spirits. They would have seen Jesus turn water into wine. And these are just the things that are written. He quite possibly did so many other miracles. Therefore, maybe, just maybe, Jesus has a solution. Maybe, just maybe, he has the resources. He has the means to solve this problem. But it appears in this story that not one disciple asked Jesus for help. And yet when the problem occurred, all they could do was count coins, open their wallet, see what's available. The amazing part of this story is, in some way, a boy turns up with a small parcel of food. And Jesus took that small parcel of food, gave thanks, and distributed that food to everyone. And everyone ate. The other amazing thing is that when everything and everyone was full, there were 12 baskets of leftovers. 12 baskets of leftovers. Now, how many disciples were there? Coincidence? It seems that each disciple was able to take a souvenir basket home. Maybe just as a reminder of the provision of Christ. Now, it seems Philip's calculations were wrong, or misplaced, or ill-directed. As we look at this story, and as we come to understand the ministry and abilities of Christ, what's the first step we need to do when we are confronted with a problem? Consult Christ. Begin with him. Now, in our particular situation, there may not be 15,000 people who are starving and need to be fed, but we may have a deadline. There may be circumstances that are outside of our control. A virus that has wreaked havoc all around the world is certainly outside of our control. Decisions that have been made by governments are certainly outside of our control. The requirement for us to stay at home is certainly outside of our control. Relationships that are strained quite often can be outside of our control. Our financial difficulties can be outside of our control. Our health can be outside of our control. Our future can appear to be outside of our control. There are things that we simply cannot solve. Yet the Holy Spirit, remember the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God who is present within us at all times. That Holy Spirit is saying, I can carry that. So as we look at this passage in John chapter 6, Jesus coming to Philip, and Jesus asked this question, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? What is the best response that Philip could have made? As I've reflected on it, now I've had a week or months, I've had years to reflect on this question. Philip had a moment's notice. But as you think about this, Jesus coming to you and saying, how are we going to solve this problem? What's the best response Philip or you could make to that question? I think the best response is, Jesus, I don't know, but I know you can. I have confidence in you. I have seen your abilities. I've read about it in your word. As I look back, I see it in my own life. As I look back on difficulties, I've seen your hand upon my life and upon my circumstances. I've heard testimonies of other people, and I know people who have seen you do amazing things. So when you ask me this question, as you asked to Philip, where shall we buy bread? How shall we solve this problem? I don't know. But I know you can. And Philip could have passed that test. And I think there are times in our own life where, like Philip, Jesus tests us. They're not testing us to expose us or embarrass us or belittle us, but testing us to refine us, to strengthen us, to build our faith. And he's saying, how are we going to solve this problem? Now think about situations in your own life. What are they? Whatever they are, it's between you and God. And for a while, you've probably tried to respond in your own strength. You opened up your wallet, checked your resources, done what you can. There's got to come a point where you say, I don't have the resources. I don't know how to solve this problem. Lord Jesus Christ, I have no idea, but I know you can. And I think when we get to that point, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us, the Lord is near, the Lord is able, the Lord is faithful, we can know a contagious calm upon our lives, knowing that where we can't, he can. What we don't know, he does know. Let your gentleness be evident to all. How? The Lord is near. I want to pray for you today. And as we just reflect on this passage, we just say, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you that you are near. Not just near as in within the neighborhood. You are within us by your Spirit. And as we reflect on the difficulties and the struggles in life, whether it's relationships, family, finance, health, it's just the struggles of life. Let us lay before God, in response to these problems that we say, we've got nothing. We don't have the answers, we don't have the resources. But we know that you are with us. We are not on our own. And just as you intervened and fed 5,000 plus people and met their need at that time. That you are capable of working in and through our lives. That you would be glorified. That we would pass the test and we would grow in and through this in faith and in maturity and in trust. That we would be in step with you. Minister to us today by your Spirit as we reflect on your word for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great to have spent some time with you this morning. I'm also aware that there are probably people who, as we've listened and read God's word, that you feel convicted, or you want to be praying with somebody, or you want prayer from somebody. There are people you can ring, whether it's myself or one of the growth group leaders, to have a chat with them. I know that they'd love to pray with you. Once again, we're also going to gather together, as I've mentioned, at 11 o'clock on Sunday, which is probably today that you're listening to this, just for some fellowship and maybe sharing of some testimonies and praying with each other. Let's not give up in meeting with one another, encouraging one another, even if it's via Zoom or telephone or text or email or whatever. Let's find ways to continue to connect and encourage one another. Have a great week. God bless you, and I look forward to continuing to connect with you in the following weeks. Bless you.